Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The fourth and final hour of NFL Draft Day coverage starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, my dudes, my dudettes. Spectacular to have you here on the radio program every day from 6 until 10 a.m. We are doing our Rob Brown Show mock draft today. We have made it through pick number 30. We will do picks 31 and 32. The 49ers and the Chiefs, your Super Bowl competitors from last year.
I got to say really quick, you saving the Chiefs pick for last, very disrespectful. I want you to know that. They'll know. They know.
Three-peat incoming. The Chiefs have been disrespected. Three-peat incoming.
All your fault.
We'll do 31 and 32 in the final segment of the show. Why? Because between now and then, we're locked and loaded. In the very next segment, it is Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo, where we're talking MMA. We're talking boxing. Today, probably, primarily, mainly, mostly, almost entirely, professional wrestling. That's coming up in the next segment.
With a little bit of pro football mixed in, because there's a crossover.
There is a crossover. The NFL keeping kayfabe alive this year. Kayfabe is real, people. Ordinarily, we talk to our next guest on Wednesdays. But unfortunately, he said that we're not a priority to him. So he decided to join us today instead. He is the executive producer of Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to four. America's number one baseball gambling show, if you ask my mom. He is an NBA analyst and expert for the BetQL Network. He is Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario. What's up, big dog?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a great day. It's draft day. It's NBA playoffs. It's NHL. Guys, we're in heaven. That's what we're in right now. Wake up, rub the eyes. We're in heaven, and there's no better place to be in this whole world.
You know, Mario, if you want, I could turn his mic down, and you and I can just have a conversation. He could just sit over there. I mean, you know, after all that disrespect that you're throwing his way.
Just remember, this is an NBA segment, Lonzo.
I know.
Have at it.
Yes. Also, so you're acting like I can't talk about how bad the Pelicans look and why they should trade Zion. We could do, you know, an entire segment on that.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, that's the whole point, you know, discourse and debate. That's we could do that because apparently I'm not capable. Go ahead, Rob.
I didn't say you weren't capable. That's not what I said.
I do believe it was implied.
All morning, this man, this icon across the room from me, has been telling me what I actually said, as opposed to what I did say.
Me and his fiance, apparently.
We're having marital disputes today, Mario, is what it comes down to. All right? We're like, we're in that, we're like, we need couples therapy, is what this comes down to right now.
I'll put my Dr. Phil hat on. I got
please
you.
Do.
No, I've been through that before. I got traded. So let's not do that again.
All right, let's jump in. Pelicans are cooked. We're toast. They're going to look back at game one, a game they should have, and with Zion would have won, Mario, but the Thunder unlocked him. Willie Green could have made diamonds. He was clenched up so hard in the last 5 minutes of game one and all of game two. The Pellies are cooked. The Birds are done, dude.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Give him credit for game one. and give the Thunder a lot of credit, because I think that was a game where Thunder showed their youth. They looked a little on edge. Them and the Suns did. Suns went a little different route, though, than the Thunder. And then in game two, look, it was going to happen. All right, it was going to. You're playing in a hostile environment in OKC. That's a loud, hard environment to play in. Chet let the game come to him, except instead of chasing the game. SGA was everywhere on both sides of the floor. You don't have your best player. Brandon Ingram is really scared of the moment. I mean, especially in that first quarter, it was like Lou Dort was his big brother, and he was like the littlest of brother. He was like the little brother that was the accident, and he was like 18 years older than him and not 2 years. So it happens. Look, you're going back to your stadium. You could probably take one. It's going to be hard. New Orleans, a hard place to play. You could probably take one, but at most, this is a 6-game series. I think it ends in a 5-game series. And sadly, the Pelicans lose. But I do have a conspiracy theory. My conspiracy theory is that if the Suns also fall apart, Rob Brown, who says that Zion doesn't go, you know, I really like being here? And who says that the Suns owner's pissed off because he gave up all these pieces, it's not working? Who says that Booker isn't going to go to the Phoenix Suns owner and go, I'm done being here. I'm done with this big three that didn't work when we had a young crew coming together and you guys decided to separate it? Who says he doesn't request a trade? And who has a lot of assets that you could send over to the Suns and you could get Booker with Zion? And now that's a championship team.
Great one. Who's my favorite playoff player been the last 2 years?
I believe he was just mentioned by Mario.
Devin damn Booker. Mario, I need you to know, I dislike you even more than usual right now because you have just fantasy booked, as we in the wrestling biz say, this dream scenario for my team in my head that I now elect to believe is going to happen. It's not. But if it does, the Pellies are Western Conference Finals bound next year because, unlike the Suns, I think you pair him with B.I., let him play on the outside, B.I. play the mid-range, Big Z play underneath. That's deadly, and I don't want to talk about it anymore because you've given me optimism when I decided yesterday to burn it all to the ground.
Hope's a dangerous thing. I just want to give my friend a little hope. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that's a pretty good logical move that the Pelicans could make. And who knows? If the Suns get swept, they could get swept. Who knows? Booker could say, I'm pretty unhappy. He's got a lot of years left on that contract. Now, you're not to give him the house. But, hey, you're selling a house for a mansion. And I would want a mansion.
I hate you so much. I really do. I hate you. So much. Hey, Nas Mario joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Either way, is there any chance, and then we'll move on from the series, is there any chance New Orleans can win 2 with the house?
I don't think so. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. Unless B.I. somehow finds a way to get past the door on every possession, unless somehow they find a way to blitz SGA in terms of just he gets rid of the ball and he has 20 or less points. I just really don't see it. And even in that game, like, J-Dubs could go off in that game and score 25. Chet even proved last night that, hey, I'm finding my way through this playoffs. And if he can do that against Big Z, he can do that against a lot of other guys, and his confidence is up. I just think it's too many weapons, too much youth, and too much excitement going on over there in OKC.
Well, we had a fun season. Anyway, Boston-Miami. Miami did the Miami thing that we all figured at some point the Miami were going to Miami all over the place and shot a billion threes and made most of them last night. As much as those games are fun for me, as much as I enjoyed that yesterday, Mario, that's not sustainable. You're not knocking 23 threes down a game. Boston's going to win this series in 5, maybe 6, but 5.
So I think it's 6. So, but I'm with you, right? Like, the Heat hitting those threes last night, that's not sustainable. Like, that's not going to happen again. At halftime, they hit a season high in three-pointers made. And they were, you know, obviously not a great three-point shooting team. Some of that does go to Boston, where it's like, Joe Mazzulla, tell your guys to put a hand up and close out on a shooter. I mean, even when they're knocking down all these threes, every Celtics defender was not even stepping beyond the three-point line and putting a hand up. They're going up to the guys with their hands down. Put your hand up, contest the three. It makes it a lot harder to make the three. Scientists have said that. Look, I get it. It was a big win for the Miami Heat. They played great defense, as they usually do. Porzingis in the post was god-awful. Even Tyler Hero, he couldn't figure out. I don't see that happening again. I don't see the Celtics falling apart like that again. This is a different Celtics team. I just think what happened was is Heat made threes. Heat came out in game two, ready to punch them in the mouth, and they did. Now, I think it's instead of a swept series I thought it was going to be, five I could see. I think it's going to more likely go six. But I just think we're in for a huge revenge game, Rob, with the Celtics in Miami. I mean, monstrous revenge game. And I think that's coming right now. And you got bulletin board material with Jimmy Butler talking smack to you from his couch on Instagram.
I don't know what the line on that game is going to be, Mario. I'm taking Boston to cover it. Don't even care what it said at. Set it at 20. I'm taking Boston to cover it. Let's go back to a series that you very briefly mentioned just a few minutes ago. Suns, Timberwolves. T-Wolves win a 105-93 winner in game two that, let's be real, wasn't even that close. They lead that series 2-0. Like, maybe at home, maybe the Suns hit a dramatic buzzer beater to steal one. That series feels over to me, too.
It's so over. It's so over. It's more over than my high school relationship that when I went to college. It's more over than that ever was. It's, you look at this game.
So dramatic.
Game two. Yeah. In game two, Anthony Edwards, just, it was not his moment, right? Like, it was not even close to his moment. At the end of the third, the Wolves were up seven, and their three leading scorers was Conley, McDaniels, and Gobert. Gobert played a great defensive game. He's not an offensive player. Conley's 1,000 years old, but he's an Indy legend. Shout out to him. And McDaniels is not, offense is not his game. And in that, you look at the other side, Booker had 18, Beal had 12, and Durant had 15. And you're like, all right, the Suns should be up right now, and they were not. If you can't beat a team in the playoffs where their best player is having a bad game, you are not better than that team, and you sure as hell can't beat them in the series. And that's where the Phoenix Suns are at right now. And it's crazy to me that so many people were so high on the Suns going into this series because you had so much proof that this Suns team just wasn't it, and so much proof that this Suns team didn't play together at all during the year. And once again, Kevin Durant's learning that it matters to play together during the regular season, because you play a team that's played together the whole freaking time, you're going to lose. And it's just going to happen again. And Anthony Edwards is not going to have that type of game again. He's going to be better. He's going to hit more shots. It's over for the Suns. They're going into a hell of an offseason with a lot of questions around guys that they're paying a lot of money for that aren't doing anything for them.
Most confusing series right now. Game one, the Bucks slap the taste out of the mouth of the Indiana Pacers. Game two, the Pacers do the exact same thing back. Two uncompetitive games. Both teams take one of those dubs. I don't know what to make of these series. I would like to think that the inexperience was what killed Indiana in game one, and they came out game two and said, all right, let's just play our game again. On the flip side, looks like maybe Milwaukee gets Giannis back for game three, possibly. If they do, I don't know what to make of this series right now, man. Like, I can't touch this series in any way, shape, or form other than putting it on the TV.
I think the toughest part about this is, like you mentioned it, in game one, the Pacers look shell-shocked, right? Like, everyone besides Siakam, and newsflash, Siakam's the only one that had playoff experience, looked ready to play. Like, they're like, okay, this is what's like to play in the playoffs. Tyrese Haliburton looked like he was even close to being ready. Like, someone should have given him a coffee on the bench and, you know, I don't, some ADHD medicine, but hey, you got to lock in here, buddy, because you look like you're not even in this building right now. That happens. Dame obviously goes off. And the thing that pissed me off too, but like I wanted to mention here, Rob, people were like, well, that Dame game's not going to happen again. Sure. Okay. You know what I mean? One of the best shooters we've ever seen. One of the best playmakers. One of the best playoff performers we've ever seen. It's going to happen again, buddy. Game two, I think we saw the plan of Rick Carlisle going, in the first half, we are going to let Dame tire himself out. We're going to let him shoot every single shot he wants, make everything he wants. And the second half, he's going to be dead tired and become more of a defensive liability than he's ever been. And then that's when we're really going to attack. I think that's what the Suns did in game two. I think that's what they did in game three. That's going to change if Giannis plays. If Giannis plays, I think this series is Bucks. But if Giannis doesn't play, Rob, I think this is 100% Pacers, because they're only going to get more comfortable playing in the playoffs, and they're coming back to Indiana. I know I've said this before, and I've you guys, everyone's laughed at me, but it's fine. Basketball was born in Massachusetts, but it was raised in Indiana.
Oh God, here we go.
And I'm
again.
Telling you right
here
now,
here we go again.
That Gainbridge Fieldhouse is going to be the loudest it's ever been, and it's going to be louder than any other stadium in the NBA. Indiana loves their basketball. IU stinks. They're coming off the Purdue run. That stadium is going to be packed and loud. And if you think they're going to take two or take maybe even one with no Giannis, you got another thing coming, Bubba. It's Pacers are one of the next two at home, if no Giannis. That's a fact, Jack.
Nobody likes basketball like Indiana. You made Hoosiers 90 years ago. Get over it.
I completely agree with him. You know, yeah? As someone
up,
someone
up,
also,
no.
you know, growing up in Midwest.
Head up
you know,
to Raleigh tell them you like basketball more than they do. Go ahead. Go on down to Rock Chalk Jayhawk, Kansas, and go tell them you love basketball more than they do.
Okay. Oh, what, are they going to want a fist fight?
Go
who
to Bluegrass, Kentucky. Tell them you love basketball more than they love their cats.
I got family there. I'll go down there and tell them.
Yeah.
Mario also thinks Indianapolis is one of the best sports host cities in America.
Yeah, and he's probably right.
No, he's
I have a basketball question, even though I'm not supposed to know about basketball, apparently. Is it possible that can we get the Lakers, can we get AD and LeBron to just not start playing till the second quarter? So when that burnout happens and they let the team come back from 20 points, it won't happen because they will have started later. Is that a possibility?
That would require for everyone else around the team to actually play better and to actually step up and do what they're supposed to do.
Well, they wouldn't have a choice to at least try because they would be out there and LeBron and AD would be – that's just an idea.
I mean, also, I think the problem with that, too, is Darvin Ham loves Rui and loves Rui a lot, but the problem is Rui is terrible on the offensive side of the floor but good on the defensive side. And he goes, hey, Rui, we're going to have you stay out there, and Jokic, you're going to chill right there in the paint and just make sure you don't get 3 seconds because no one's going to come near you because you're not really good offensively. And then they're playing, you know, 5-on-4 on the offensive side. I agree with you. Like, the burnout happens every time. I'm like, can someone help with this? Can Austin Reeves help with this? D'Angelo Russell is a one step forward, five steps back type of player. Either way, that talk about another series. I mean, we've said just series are done. That one's cooked. I mean, fry that baby up. I mean, Jokic is dominating LeBron once again. And that, I mean, just goes to prove that two stars is not enough. You need a whole team of players to be around. And the Nuggets, Wolves, all examples.
You think Indiana's better than Madison Square Garden? Yeah. Are you high right now?
No.
His eyes look pretty wide open. You can see it on Facebook, YouTube, or X if you want to. But, yeah, his eyes look perfectly. I mean, you know, I don't see any signs.
You know what I'm very excited about? I'm very excited for Saturday, Bet for the Cycle on the BetQL Network from noon to 4, to also inform my dear friend and colleague, Cody Decker, that Mario thinks Indiana is going to bring more noise than Madison Square freaking Garden.
Yep, 110%. I stand by it. I will stand by it on there, and I'll die on that hill. Look at the Last Dance, Doc. Look at the Last Dance. Where was Chris? When was Chris Bosh? When he was on the Miami Heat? Where do you say it was one of the hardest places to play? Mm-hmm, it's Indiana, guys.
And that that documentary was from 2000. What, 1920? Oh, I'm sorry, 1994.
Chris Bosh. That was what, 2012, 13. I'm just saying. Watch out for it. It's a very hard place to play, and people love the basketball in Indiana.
And only in Indiana. Everybody else just kind of casually dates basketball. Indiana, only place in the world.
By the way,
that's how
everyone down here acts about their football. It's just different here in the South. No, it's not. It is not.
No, it really is, though.
It's just because you live here, you think it's different, and it's not.
Nah, it really is.
It's like Texas with football. It's like Texas with football. It's big everywhere. I don't get that, but...
Hey, Mario, how big was the football stadium you played your high school football in?
Like, seats-wise? Mm-hmm. It was pretty big, actually.
Yeah, how big?
Probably 2,000-3,000 seats.
Okay. That's pretty big, 2,000-3,000 seats, yeah. Texas has got high school stadiums with 40,000 seats in it. They like football more than you.
They also have a state per capita of, like, people than, you know, just... Mm-hmm. I mean, you know... Mm-hmm.
And I'm not comparing Indiana football to Texas football. I'm saying the parallels of Texas football and Indiana basketball is the same. Do you know who the two biggest high school stadiums are in basketball, Rob Brown? They're both in Indiana.
They
sell out.
Bet for the Cycle airs on Saturdays from noon to 4. Ordinarily, it's me and Cody Decker with Mario. This Saturday, it's going to be me and Cody Decker against Mario on the same show. Hating ass Mario Mariharan here is the executive producer of that show, as well as an NBA analyst for the BetQL Network. Kinda thanks for coming by, buddy.
It's always a pleasure. Happy draft day. Happy NBA playoffs. And Gainbridge is going to be rocking.
Happy draft day, Bubba. We'll talk to you next Thursday or next Wednesday, pardon me.
Or Saturday.
He'll talk to you. You know what I mean.
It's okay.
Hating ass Mario. We're back after this for Fight Club on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where we take this stuff serious. We do, especially if, an owner of a team gets hurt. And I didn't want to start there, but I think I will. So last night on AEW Dynamite, the scapegoat returned and, as predicted, became a member of the Elite. That would be one Jack Perry, who wants to use real glass. Thank you, CM Punk. And met Tony Khan in the middle of the ring at the end of the show. Knew something was going to happen, and he punched Tony in the gut. And then the Elite proceeded to pile drive him into the mat, and his Diddy came out. You know it's bad when you're in a fight, it's professional or otherwise, and your Diddy comes out. Because you know, his Diddy was worried.
I need y'all to start saying dad or daddy father.
Obviously, I'm doing it sarcastically. Yeah, let's face it. Shao Kahn is probably a father. He probably calls him father. Wouldn't you think? I don't know.
Yes, father.
But his mustache looks so serious. I was for a moment thought, hey, maybe Tony Khan really got hurt because he doesn't know what he's doing, and he didn't sell it correctly. And let's face it, the move that you're going to allow your employees to do to you, that's not the one you go with, you know? I don't recall ever seeing Tony Khan in the ring before in this capacity.
That was his first bump.
Yeah, and so let's do like the most possible worst thing that could like break my neck and kill me. It does show a lot of trust in the people who are doing it, but good for him, and I believe that this is their way of covering up playing the tape. And this was I think this was his long-term storytelling idea all along, and I think it worked.
I'll be real, I haven't watched it yet, so that's part.
So much criticism for showing the CM Punk backstage, and was hoping all along that it would work to progress a storyline, and I think it has. Something that they don't do enough, especially with MJF not there. And it works. The problem is, how do you end it? Does it just go away? Because Tony Khan is not going to wrestle. He will look more awkward than Michael Cole in the ring. It's just not. He can't.
First off, Michael Cole's undefeated at WrestleMania.
He is. He is very much so.
Here's the Punk thing, the video thing. There was criticism, sure. I think it fell into, I think for just about everybody, the reaction to it fell into what camp you were in. If you were a WWE guy, it totally exonerated CM Punk. If you're an AEW guy, it made Punk look as bad as you thought he was going to. And if you're somebody like us who likes both and wants both to succeed, then you went, eh, all
right.
Like,
right.
I can see it either way. But so
do you not agree that they're using this in the right way? Whether it was a mistake or not.
I haven't seen the segment yet, so I don't know. I don't know what the lead up was. Here's what I do know. Jack Perry does nothing for me. He does nothing for me. He's not good on the mic to me. He's a very average wrestler. He worked great when he was Jungle Boy paired up with Luchasaurus because you let Luchasaurus do a bunch of cool crap.
Other little guy whose name everyone...
Stunt. Yeah. Marco Stunt.
Marco, yeah.
Even that. Like, you were fine when you had Jurassic Express. It made sense. You let most of the heavy lifting be done by Luchasaurus. As an individual guy and as a mic guy, he's just not that compelling. I get the story you're trying to put down. I'm fine with it. The company needs to work on storylines and get better at the storylines, and that's all good. I'm fine with them taking a bump. And listen, it's not like the groundwork for Boss gets directly involved in a feud hasn't been laid down a billion times by every promoter who's ever run a company. Paulie Dangerously, VKM, He Who Shan't Be Named, etc., have all done this angle.
What's her name from TNA?
Dixie Carter. TNA.
Yeah, sorry, I can't remember names anymore.
Every one of them has done some sort of angle in this direction. It's not like they don't have inspiration and ideas to draw off of that don't require Tony to be a competitor. You can do a hostile takeover angle where the EVPs are trying to force Tony out so it can be their company, and Tony's got to rally all the baby faces. Like, the angles are fine.
All right, so the angle continued afterwards on digital, and if you get a chance, you should watch it. What Jack Perry said, followed by what the Young Bucks said. And I think it added to the story also. Jack Perry said, you took 8 months away from my career. And then the Elite basically said, this is how the company should be run. And this is how it's going to be going forward. As if they're going with a hostile takeover angle, which is it's a good angle. Again, we've seen it happen before with Shane and with Stephanie. So we've seen it happen in that company and in other companies too. So, I mean, it's wrestling. And I think they can do a lot with this. One thing they cannot do a lot with, and I'm not trying to pile on because I just saw this. Apparently, according to a bunch of sites, AEW is hiring seat fillers.
Are you? Wait. You're going to skip right over the connection to the draft from what happened last night?
Oh, yeah. My bad.
The best thing about this segment today?
You're right. In the interest of time, I'm trying to squeeze too many things.
We can go late on this segment. I'll take the heat. It's draft day. Yeah, this is a draft story.
Your heat will be my heat, and I'm not. Okay, fine. So
it's a hostile takeover.
The NFL put out a statement.
The NFL.
Due to the fact that Tony Khan was attacked by the Young Bucks last night, they're not sure that he's going to be available for the draft. And it's great. It works really well.
I was looking at that on their website, on the news section of the NFL website, is this headline. The Jaguars currently hold the number 17 overall pick. Whether head coach Doug Peterson and general manager Trent Baalke can count on Tony Khan recovering from the heinous attack by Perry and the Young Bucks on Wednesday in Duval remains to be seen. That is an official headline the NFL's website.
You know why? I don't know if you knew this, and you can tell that other show in the afternoon, because as The Rock said, wrestling is cool. That's what he said.
I pushed the wrong button.
Yeah, that's all right.
I pushed the right button.
There you go. That was definitely intentional. So, also speculation, and I hope this is true, that Tony Khan shows up in the neck brace. You're going to sell it. You got to sell it. NFL is helping you sell the kayfabe here. You've got to go all the way.
Yeah, and if the NFL put out legitimately a push notification about Tony Khan being jumped by the Young Bucks and Jack Perry. They're obviously about, why wouldn't they be? Everybody loves wrestling. Travis Kelce had a WrestleMania moment.
Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelce. The football world. And the every Raw, there's the local NFL team has like the whole offensive line front and center.
Not to mention those sweet belts.
Two worlds have bled over into each other so much that the NFL is now willing to buy into a kayfabe storyline on their official news website. I got zero doubt. If he wants to, they would let could you imagine him coming out to announce pick 17 with Raj in like a neck brace and on a crutch and utilize that to cut a 5-second promo on the Young Bucks?
Can he do it without laughing? That's what I want to know, because he always has that kind of lost look on his face. So if he has his normal look, that's fine.
Here's the thing.
And when they show him in the war room, he's got to make sure he sells it. He can't move his head. He's got to move his whole body when he's turning in a neck brace. You got to do it that way.
This angle only works. One of the things I have loved about AEW is the wrestling's great. And part of the reason why is Tony Khan is a wrestling fan who happened to hit the genetic lottery and be born to a billionaire so he could start a company just for the lulz. And that's great. Good for him. What a lucky son of a biscuit he is. All right? That's great. This angle only works if he can drop the corny, goofy, fun-loving, all these guys are my friends act. You know what this is great for? This is great. I've been told this my whole life. If you want to have a personality change, the most important thing you can do is act like what you want to become. And the more you act it, the more you will become it. Tony Khan has got to act in this angle as if he is now a serious badass boss who is fighting for his company and his life. And hopefully that'll bleed over into his actual owning of the company.
Last question on this. Who do you think is his savior? Is it going to be Omega or is it going to be MJF?
I do not think it is coincidental that Tony Omega. I do not think it is coincidental that Kenny Omega is returning this Friday. I don't think that's coincidental. I think there's nobody who can kind of help him understand, learn, and fight back against the Young Bucks than a guy who was in the Elite with them. And I don't think he's alone. I think you can
Hangman has been suspended. And now they have four guys in the Elite. There's always only four. So Hangman's probably out of that too.
Sure.
So, and you bring back those guys, you bring MJF back. I mean, there's just a lot of things you could do with it. It's really cool. I'll skip the seat thing because you don't want to talk about it. That's fine. Plus, we're running out of time. Whether you're going to take the heat or not, WWE has been doing something sneakily, and I don't know if anyone's noticed because it hasn't been as publicized as it has been in the past. There have been roster releases. Did you know that?
Yeah. Our boy Cameron Grimes going to the unemployment line.
There have been seven so far. Cameron Grimes was the latest.
Yep.
It started with Jinder Mahal on the 19th. Also, Zion Quinn. If you're not an NXT guy, you probably don't know who Zion Quinn is. But Xia Li got released. She was one of my favorite wrestlers.
I love Xia Li. Yeah. I'll tell you where they went wrong with Xia Li. Xia Li as a face was white hot over. She was one of the few that came up to do like test matches and the big roster, and she got over with that. They tried to turn her face turn her heel, and she just does not have that developed yet. I think they tried to push her to the other side too quickly. She's going to land somewhere and be good. I could absolutely see her picked up as an AEW wrestler.
All right, Veer and Sangha both got released, which is not a surprise because that's who Jinder Mahal was managing. And then Von Wagner, who they tried so much with him. He just never really worked, and I think it was his mic work.
You think it was?
With the storyline they used, showing the pictures of him as a kid, being made fun of because he had to have skull surgery and all that kind of stuff. If you have a more personable wrestler in there, that guy's over big time.
For sure.
But he just could not – he just can't talk. And I hate that. For someone, for anyone, that's the thing that doesn't work for them. He needs to be somewhere wearing a mask and just coming out and beating people up having to talk.
There are some guys that are just
Abyss.
Made.
Remember Abyss?
There are just some guys who just need to come out, kick ass, and leave. Remember, there was a stretch there. That's what it was for Roman. He was come out, beat ass, leave. And that was the whole thing. That's what that guy's got to be. He is, I'm sad to say, he's a charisma vacuum. You gave him arguably the most sympathetic babyface story that they have given anybody in a decade and a half. And he has such a charisma vacuum that it was hard to root for a guy whose story was, I had developmental issues, major brain surgery, I was bullied as a kid, and I had to teach myself how to be this guy, and I still couldn't get behind him.
All right, speaking of us actually getting behind someone, as we go to, I had a bunch of other stuff, but we got to go so we can squeeze in those last two picks. Congratulations not to Becky Lynch, because I think that's lazy and she's just a placeholder, and her contract's almost up and she was probably due another championship before it's over. But congratulations to South Carolina Gamecock, Trick Williams.
Whoop that trick!
Your new NXT champion, knocking off Ilya Dragunov. So happy about that. It was awesome.
For those of you that wonder why we have talked about this guy, it is because, as Lonzo mentioned, he is a former South Carolina Gamecock. You may have known him better as Matrick Belton when he played wide receiver for that school. Played there back in, 2015, 14, 15?
I'm going to go 16, but yeah, it's still fairly recent.
Yeah, Feller was in, played for South Carolina as a wide receiver. Matrick Belton, now he is known as Trick Williams at NXT, was alongside Carmelo and the Trick Mello gang. Mello turned on him. He won the NXT title, which means that, top of my head, could be wrong, South Carolina now holds more wrestling professional championships than Clemson does. The rivalry upgrades.
I got to agree with that.
We got the final two picks. San Francisco and Kansas City on the clock, and then we wrap it up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, we wrap up the Rob Brown Show mock draft with picks number 31 and 32, your two Super Bowl contenders from last year, two of the front runners for Super Bowl contenders this year. We go to number 31, the San Francisco 49ers are on the clock, and ladies and gentlemen, the pick is in. With the 31st overall selection of the 2024 Rob Brown Show mock draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from the University of Oklahoma. Ain't no doubt about that. Another one of those guys that, to me, it feels like he is built for the job, but it feels like he is going to have to be coached in to the job. He can play on either side of the line. He is a very quick guy, can be used as a pull tackle, can also be used as a lead blocker. You can run off of him, pull a guard in behind him, get him off the edge, and expect him to be a good lead blocker out at the second or third level. He's got good hands. He is very good in terms of technique in the pass block. So what are the downsides? Why is he all the way down here? The answer is he is tall and he plays that way. My dude is 6'8", 322 pounds. Now, 6'8", can still work just fine. In fact, should work just fine as an offensive tackle. 6'8", standing straight up does not. There's an old adage for battles across the line of scrimmage. Low guy wins. Tough to be the low guy at 6'8". It is tough to be the low guy at 6'8". So with that being said, he's going to have to learn how to lower the shoulder pads. He's going to have to learn to get down in his stance. He's going to have to learn to be a bit more accurate when he's hitting in a block. You can't get the hand on the shoulder and expect you're just going to push a pro NFL defensive lineman to the inside. You are going to have to get more accurate with the hands. He's going to have to get stronger. Despite going 6'8" and checking in at 320 pounds, His bench press is not good. In fact, I know that because it is the only workout that he did not do at the combine. He did not do the bench. And the speculation, and I hate to say that I believe it, but I do. The speculation is because he would have been disappointing in that exercise. And that's why he did not do it. He is going to be a guy that is going to have to find, as an offensive line coach once said to me, find his anchor. He's going to have to learn how to take his positioning, claim his space, and hold it. If he can do that, he could be very, very good. Let's go now to number 32. Your reigning, defending, undisputed Super Bowl champions. Put the ones up and acknowledge them, and please do not disrespect them. It is the Kansas City Chiefs, and the pick is in. Lonzo, you were the hardest team to pick for in round one at 32.
I was going
to
say, you already spoiled earlier that you couldn't decide. So you're going to have to decide, though. We've got like 7 minutes left in this show. So,
okay. Let's talk this one out. Let's talk this one out, Zoe. Let's talk this one out. It's your team. Let's talk this one out. First off, Todd Ellis is phenomenal. Can I just tell you how much that guy's won me over? The voice of the game.
Has he? Because I thought you were going to make fun of Todd.
No.
So.
No. He's got that gruff football voice. He's like the Jesse Ventura of college football, brother. He has won me over. I wasn't a huge fan when I got here. 4 years later, he has won me over. I love Todd Ellis. Second, let's talk about this player. 6'3". Talked about that. They list him as 6'1". I'm going to say 6'2". Goes 221. One of the more, let's say, built wide receivers in this class. He is physical. He is stout. You heard the question. Is he a guy or is he a one-year wonder?
That's definitely a concern because I got to admit, when he broke out last year, I forgot he was still there. And it's because he would catch a pass here or there, and that was it. But last year, he was definitely a focal point. The thing is, you know, if he's just a guy who catches a pass here or there, that's okay in Kansas City.
Yesterday,
as long as he actually catches the ball, that's okay.
James said, this is a cheap pop. James said, I just pulled the wrestling equivalent of walking into a house show wearing the jersey of the local team to get a little love.
Who's James pulled for?
The Atlanta Braves, according to his profile.
Yeah, I meant college team.
I don't think it is. The debate here for me has been on since yesterday morning about who I was going to take here. It's a wide receiver. Now, this team could go offensive line, specifically tackle, right? Yes. The offensive tackle play for this team the last 2 years has been not great.
Yeah, it's not.
I could see this
team. We shouldn't
know
who they are, and we do every single game, unfortunately.
The only reason I should know your offensive tackle's name is because he was in the Pro Bowl defending my quarterback last year, right? Like, that's the only reason I should know your OT's name. I know the offensive tackles for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it ain't because they were in the Pro Bowl last year. They could go offensive tackle. Here's the interesting thing to me. This is not a super deep draft when it comes to start-ready tackles. It's full of prospects. A lot of guys that are going to need some polish. A lot of guys that are going to get into the league, and they're going to need to be coached up to the next level.
And by the way, with those tackles and the problems that they exhibited throughout the season, the Chiefs still won the Super Bowl.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did.
I
so,
had not been told.
So if you want to keep those guys, you know what you're going to have to deal with and hope they get better, not worse. They need to go receiver here. And, of course, I'm happy with that choice.
I agree with that. I also think that, again, the debate for me.
If Ladd drops there, though, I mean, that's another possibility. But you've talked about, Rashad talked about when he was on the show last hour, that there are a ton of receivers out there. They just really, really need to get someone with sure hands and with some speed.
My question mark here is, knowing that guys like Ladd McConkey are still on the board, is this a trade back spot for Kansas City? It feels like it is for me. It feels like there are enough good edge rushers and enough good wide receivers that it could be a trade back spot for Kansas City to grab, you know, to grab some more capital from a team that feels desperate to get into this spot.
They have drafted really well. They really have. So they may even move up. Who knows? If they see something that they see a player that Andy Reid really wants, they'll go wherever they need to go to get him.
I don't disagree. As this draft goes, it came down to me, Xavier Leggett versus Ladd McConkey. It was always going to be one of those two cats in this spot because you are correct. They need a receiver. And you are correct. They need a guy that has short hands. The issue with Xavier Leggett is twofold. Number one, he's going to have to learn to separate from the press. And number two, he's got to sell routes better. He does not sell a route. He runs the route. If it's a 10 and in, he's hitting 10 and he's cutting in. He does not do anything extra to sell a cornerback to maybe get him off balance so that the cut is more effective. But I look at Ladd McConkey. He's dealt with injuries to his ankles. He had a lot of he's not a deep ball threat like Xavier Leggett is, and he's a very average accelerator, which is why I've said he's a slot guy primarily, whereas Xavier Leggett can be a one if you need him to. I'm going Xavier Leggett, 32nd overall to the Chiefs. I will post my mock draft on the Fan Upstate Facebook and Twitter pages after the show is over. So make sure you check that out if you missed any of the picks from the last 2 days. I will be live at Dave & Buster's tonight on the air with Cole and Diesel from 5 to 7 and hanging out afterwards. Please come out and say hello. And otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow to recap the NFL draft on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate later. Yeah!
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.